Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh. You're here with Scott Shepard and Brad Wright. How are you doing today, Brad?
Oh, we're doing great, man. This is an awesome day.
It is, and if it stopped raining here in the city, it'd be even better.
Oh, yeah.
Someday. Hey, the Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by Micromat, makers of Tech Tool Pro 4. You can check them out at micromat.com. DVD XDV, the coolest software for pulling content off a DVD that's MPEG 2 and bringing it into some other application to repurpose its use. Check them out at DVDXDV.com. MCE Technologies, the place to get a brand new MacBook Pro, Apple authorized reseller, and upgrades for your PowerBook, G4, your G5, whatever you need. Cool stuff, MCETech.com, Lynda.com. Over 11,000 movies online. Everything you could use for your Mac, from Office to Final Cut Pro, you name it. Cool training at Lynda. That's LYNDA.com, Lynda.com. And our content partners, Creative Pro, for the greatest tips on creating content. If you're a creative, check out CreativePro.com. Mac Update for the coolest software updates for your Macintosh at MacUpdate.com, the official printer of the Inside Mac radio program, Printing for Less, and the digital production buzz of Philip Hodges at DigitalProductionBuzz.com.
Yes.
Cool stuff going there. We're actually going to be doing from 2 to 3:30 every day at NAB, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 30. We're going to have Inside Mac and the Digital Production Buzz combo show at the CMP booth on the show floor at NAB.
Wow. So much show, you never know what hit you.
And then we're doing 2 to 3:30. With Philip. We have our own booth, our own inside NAB studios, where we're shooting video.
With some of the really hottest equipment going.
The hottest equipment
definitely
going.
Definitely worth checking out.
10 by 30 booth on the show floor with FMC and NAB.
Yeah.
Great stuff going there. And also we're doing radio stuff too for Inside Mac separately.
Wow.
So we're like 10 hours a day.
Clear out your hard drive because a whole lot of stuff is coming at you.
So we'll have a bunch of stuff coming on that deal from NAB and, you know.
Oh, it's going to be great. Yeah, it's going to be, what a show. I mean, it's just like, it's really the top, it's the summit, the pinnacle of all things broadcasting, all things post-production, all things creative, really.
Yeah, really. And, it's interesting, too, I don't know if you noticed, but yesterday, Apple actually started making available and shipping universal binaries for the studio, for the final production.
Oh, yeah.
For the production studio.
Yes, that's really great.
I mean, haven't seen anybody back with a copy yet or any kind of benchmarks. I'm just wondering how Final Cut 5.01, or is it 5.1?
Well, it's
5.1, I think.
I got it on a Mac. I'm running it on a MacBook Pro. In fact, I demonstrated it last week at the LA Final Cut Pro Users Group last week down there in LA, in Hollywood, really. And it's not bad, even as a non-universal binary. It's pretty impressive. Final Cut, running on that is impressive.
I'm running under Rosetta.
That's now, running under Rosetta.
Now, a native version
is going to be
smoke.
Oh, it's going to be smoking. Yeah. I can't wait to see it. I mean, it's going to be great. It just keeps getting better for Mac users. It's great to be able to carry around something that's about so big, and it's like a workstation. You know, it's just this little laptop, but it's like a workstation.
All I know is I was editing some stuff for some other projects we're working on my 17-inch. It's a 1.5 gigahertz, 2 gig of RAM stuffed, external 7200 RPM hard drive, and I'm editing stuff. And it got so slow that everything went into slow motion. It's got the 128 meg of RAM. I don't know what happened, man, but it's like time to upgrade.
Yeah, time to upgrade. Time to get that.
Final Cut was running so slow, it was brutal.
Time to get
I'm telling you, new
MacBook Pro.
I wasn't rendering or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just scrubbing.
Yeah.
The thing was just, it was terrible.
Ah, yeah.
I'm running Final Cut Pro 4.5 and, you know.
Yeah,
I'm sort of behind on this machine. But either way, it's all good. Universal Binaries is shipping. You can check that out at Apple.com. We have a bunch of great stuff coming up here on the Inside Mac radio program. Next up here, we're going to have Philip Hodges rolling out the rest of our weekly post-production news. And after that, we're going to have all kinds of cool Mac stuff. People from Garmin International, Bug Dreams, Print Fest, Mug Updates, you name it. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com. Macintosh for the new millennium.
This is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac. Get on live now at 800-490-0058
or email us
at radio@insidemac.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of Protose, the cool hardware device to fix your Mac on the road. Stick this little firewire device in, boot your Mac off it, fix it, get a backup, happy and happy. Check them out at micromat.com. Right now we're joined by our weekly segment, The Digital Production Buzz, with Philip Hodges. How you doing, Philip?
Scott, I am looking so forward to having a Universal Fun Studio at last.
Yeah, I mean, they're shipping the thing now. I have a question for you. Does anybody that you know or heard of have it yet?
No, they only actually started officially shipping it yesterday. In fact, I needed to check an important little matter with Boris from BorisFX as to whether or not the calligraphy plugins were also universal, because
they are kind of
important, and they've all got to be in the same code base.
Yes.
So, unfortunately, they are. Boris has also got the calligraphy. That's Title 3D, Title Crawl, and the vector plugins and all of that stuff are universal as well, so they ship with that. When I emailed Boris, he said, "Where did you find out that we're shipping?" "I can't say anything because I'm under NDA." And I said, "It's all over the news today, Boris. It's even on Apple's website." So then he could tell me.
Well, that's a good one. I mean, this is good. This universal binary. I think they still have the deal, don't they, that if you actually have, like, Final Cut Pro 4.5, or Soundtrack Pro, or whatever, you could upgrade for, what, $199?
If you've got any one of the applications, you can upgrade to the entire studio for $199. If you have Final Cut Pro 5 and not the rest of the studio, you can do that for $99. And if you want to just cross-grade the whole studio and you have the studio, you can do that for just $49, but you do have to send in the discs.
Yeah, so it's going to take you 6 to 8 weeks or something then.
Yeah.
For a little while, yeah. Important thing, we did mention that the calligraphy plugins were universal binary. There was a note in the release notes, and there are a lot of bug fixes in this release too. So even if you're going to stay on PowerPC, it's probably worth doing the cross-grade just to get the bug fixes. And you can find those, you know, you can do the link to those from the Digital Production Buzz News Final Studio Universal article. But when in the release notes, other After Effects plugins do not work in Final Cut Pro 5.1 on Intel machines, according to the release notes.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. Once you cut over to Universal Binaries, one thing to note is that you have to be running OS 10.3.9. But, of course, you knew that already because that's where Final Cut 5 is.
Yeah.
But if you're not up there, because I went through a little Universal Binary thing this week, too, as well, in the last couple of weeks. And, you have to be on 10.3.9. Or you can be on Tiger, of course. But that's
you should be running Tiger in it. Come on, get a grip.
Yeah. You should be running Tiger. Now that it's got past 4.2, once we got past 4.2, I'm happy to recommend Tiger.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's just a problem for anyone who uses anything other than our filters, like the Continuum Cleat or any other After Effects filters within Final Cut Pro, because according to the release notes, they do not work in this release.
That's
a pretty serious downside.
That is. I mean, if you're using some of these custom plugins, you have to kind of wait. Before you go to Intel or even go out of Rosetta, you have to wait till all these plugins do upgrade their stuff to Universal Binaries or to have Intel versions.
I'm kind of wondering if they mean that they don't work unless they're Universal Binaries, or they just don't work.
I should have asked. I saw Jim Tierney last week at from Digital Anarchy and at Photoshop World. Should ask them about, you know, hey, what's up with all these After Effects plugins and all this other stuff? Because basically, what do you have, two boxes now? I mean, I'm sure that the studio is going to be a lot faster, I bet,
Intel. And, of course, any of the FX script plugins, like Graham Natras's plugins, will work straight away because they are compiled within Final Cut, so there's no need for those to be rewritten.
Those are the ones like Joe's plugins are doing the whole thing in the scripting language, correct?
Correct.
So that doesn't matter about the deal. But so what are you going to have now? You're going to have your G5 quad for using After Effects and Photoshop, and then you have another box for doing your Final Cut work.
Exactly. Yeah. And speaking of doing Final Cut work, sometimes we like to put music with our Final Cut work.
Really? I love music to put with Final Cut.
And
but it's so hard to find.
Well, one of the great places I found to get music is actually from Smart Sound and their Sonic Fire. Because you take music and it intelligently builds music to length. And this is not new. They've been doing this for a couple of years. And for me, that's easier because I'm kind of musically challenged with soundtrack. It takes me a lot of time to actually produce something from that raw material. Whereas Sonic Fire, I can actually build something musically, because it is actually providing music. Well, I've been beta testing Sonic 5 Pro 4, and I'm allowed to talk a little bit about the key new feature called mood mapping.
Mood mapping.
Mood mapping. Now, with Sonic 5 Pro, you've been able to do a cut to length, and then, you know, usually four or five variations on any track. Well, now you can go in, and on top of all of those variations, you can do a mood map. So you can change it from being the full orchestral version down to like a lounge combo version, down to something that goes behind dialogue, and then you can mix and match these within a track. So as you play your video inside Sonic Fire, you can say, oh, you know, we need to cut it back there, we're going under dialogue. It keeps it music, it keeps the musical integrity, but it changes the feel and the mood of the piece. Mood mapping, I guess they might call it. So you can do this on a second by second basis if you want, and blend between the two with dissolves. It's a very cool new feature. Of course, I don't know when it's going to be out, and I don't know what it's going to cost to upgrade, but I do know it's a very cool feature.
No, that is very cool. And, you know, like you said, trying to find and dealing with the whole music issue with producing video content is, you know, you have this licensing stuff, you have, you know, there's a ton of music out there, but a lot of it, you have to pay $100 if you want to use this piece of music on this video or more.
Yeah.
And Sonic Fire Pro, I think I used the version back maybe two, and it was cool.
Yeah. It's very cool, and you should check it out if you're doing that. And just before we run it completely out of time, if anyone does web stuff, there's been a rollout of a new version of Internet Explorer on that other platform, but we know you're authoring this on your Mac, and this is a fallout of the Eolus patent, and basically you've got to make some changes if you don't want your clients to have to click on an OK button whenever they load a page with a QuickTime movie in it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this has been rolled out, and it's all part of this patent settlement, or avoid it. There is a way of actually writing your embed statements or your object statement with a JavaScript that will get around that need to click. So if you've got a website or you're maintaining a website for clients that's got rich media on the pages, you might want to check out the Digital Production Buzz news at digitalproductionbuzz.com in the news area, latest news area, and check out the Internet Explorer changes, After Effects embedded content. And you can find that news on TuPop or Government Video or in the ProApps Hub as well.
Wow. See, why can't we just all get along?
Well, why don't we? See, if everyone stayed on the Mac, we'd be fine. Apparently, Aeolus don't. It would apply to the other browsers, but Aeolus have said, well, we've got $500 million from Microsoft. We don't care.
Yeah.
We're not going to go after Apple, or we're not going to go after Firefox or Camino or any of those other browsers.
What about Blackmagic actually offers 2K playback now?
Oh, yeah. This is so sweet. If you're doing anything in film work with digital intermediates, you know, you haven't been able to actually play this out at Final Cut until now. And they've added this feature during the week. They had two. Something else happened on the Windows platform we don't care about, 64-bit support. But on both platforms, they do 2K playout, which is better than HD resolution. It's 2048 from memory, horizontal pixels. And so you can now play that out, so you can get your scans from your film, you can do your effects work, you can do your color correction with, say, Final Touch, but you can then play it back out straight to your projection system or whatever you're going to use to preview a big 30-inch cinema display. You can do that using Blackmagic Design HD card. That's pretty sweet. That's going to be really big for the digital intermediate folk.
Very true. Cool stuff. Philip, thank you so much. You can find out more information on Philip's radio program Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific time at digitalproductionbuzz.com. You're listening to the Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back. You want to learn all the great software on your Macintosh and get up to speed instantly? Well, you need to check out Lynda.com. Lynda.com is an educational website that offers online movie training 24/7 on Flash, Photoshop, Dreamweaver, Illustrator, After Effects, and 160 other topics. Subscribe and learn from over 11,000 tutorials for as low as $25 a month. Visit Lynda, that's Lynda.com, to check out hundreds of free sample training movies and more.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by DVD XDV. So, if you have cool content on an MPEG 2 and DVD, you can use DVD XDV to pull this off, stick it into Final Cut Pro HD, Final Cut Pro 5,
Avid,
Final Cut Express, Avid, whatever you want.
After Effects, iPod.
Check it out. www.dvdxdv.com. So, Right now we have Andrew Shallot with us. Andrew is the author of Mac Design Out of the Box, and he has a cool graphic tip of the week for us. How are we doing, Andy?
Very good. How are you boys? Good?
Oh,
doing great.
So nice.
Hey, I used your last tip just this last week, the image capture thing. Worked great. I totally used it, and I was very surprised. It was a great idea.
In fact, there was an article on I think Mac Central or something about the fact that people were complaining about iPhoto and how it was an all or one and it's all or nothing rather an all or nothing application, and that's exactly where my application idea came in.
Yeah, it was
so
great.
Today I want to talk about something else. I want to talk about designing by click. What that means is, if you've ever gone onto a website. Have you ever counted how many clicks it takes you to get to where you want to go?
Oh, yeah.
This is something very basic, but when you're doing web design, you want to know how long it's going to take your user or your customer to get to whatever it is you think they're going to want to get to. And this is something that people don't often consider. When you're designing, a lot of times small graphic design shops or something, you'll consider either the customer's viewpoint or rather their client's viewpoint or their own personal, artistic ideas. But they never actually put themselves into the seat or the mouse of the user, and that is really what you want to do. Because in the end, that's where your design's going to fly or not. So, if, for instance, if I went to osxfaq.com and I wanted to get to the iTunes podcast download, it takes me one click. That's a good design.
That's what you want, man. One click, brother.
That's what you want. So the idea is that essentially that you want to count how many clicks. So maybe the next time you get on the web, and this is not just for designers. This is for everybody. So this will also give you something so that you can complain to people about. But if you get to a site, count how many clicks if you want to buy something. How many clicks it takes you to get there. If it takes you more than three clicks, then just forget it, I would think.
Yeah.
Nowadays, we got a fast life. We got to keep going fast, 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 right?
Yep.
That's it. Got to get in and get out quick, brother.
Get in and get out. And so as a designer, you really have to consider that. So you have to pretend that you are the user, not the client, as I said, because that has to do with the client. The client's idea of what they want to say is not necessarily the best thing for selling what they want to sell. So there's a differentiation there as well. So this is a kind of a basic, boring tip, but I think it'll be valuable the more you start to become aware of it.
This is so true.
The more you start counting clicks, the more you'll start to see which sites are more successful than others.
Hey, what a great tip. That was Andrew Shallot, Mac Design Out of the Box. You can pop over to Inside Mac Radio. There's a link to it on Amazon, or you go to Andy's website at shallot.com. We'll be right back.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying? Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity!
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
You wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Lynda.com, the coolest online training for your Macintosh. Over 11,000 movies, anything from Office to Final Cut to Photoshop, CS2, InDesign, you name it, Flash. Tons of cool content, great pricing. Check them out. www.lynda, that's L-Y-N-D-A, lynda.com. So right now we're here with Sam Levin. Sammy's doing his cool Mac picks for the week. How you doing, Sammy?
I'm doing great, Scott. Lots of fun toys. This is endless, Scott, with the iPod accessory. I call it iPod-orama, and it just keeps ongoing. This is like Hanukkah, Christmas combined every day.
That's awesome. I like that idea.
I love that because I celebrate both.
So cool.
The latest product that's come out of the scene here for the portable iPod speaker lineup is from a company called iHome. And actually, it's from SDI Technologies, but I just call it iHome. The product is called the iHome IH5. And this is a clock radio that's specifically designed for any of the docking iPods. That means anything from the Mini all the way on up. So the Mini, 4G, 5G, even the 3G iPods. Current Nano and the video iPods work as well. The IH5 is really, really nice. It's got a remote, multifunction remote that you can use with it. The sound is very, very clean, decent sounding mid-range and bass, and it works as a clock radio, so you can wake yourself up with your music or with a beep or whatever you want. They come in black or white. They're available from Apple online, from Amazon. It's SRP at $99. You can find it for $88, $89 online. It's a really nice system. Now, on that note, a number of other companies have released iPod docks. I think last week we spoke about Keyspan. Well, DLO has come out with the Home Dock Deluxe. Now, it's not shipping, but they say it's pretty imminent. It's very cool. It's like the original Home Dock, except it's got on-screen controls. And that, to me, is pretty exciting because you don't need to look down. You don't need to figure out, okay, what is my music playing? You just look at your screen on your TV. And a lot of us have those bigger screens, so it might be nice to navigate through your TV versus, okay, what's playing next? And that is $149.99. Hopefully we'll have them in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Oh, are you saying that the interface is now brought out, what you're seeing on your iPod is now brought up to your television screen
well,
so you can navigate it?
Yes and no, Brad. It is basically on-screen controls. So, yes, there are on-screen controls for whatever, your playlist. Well, I guess the answer is yes.
Oh, that's excellent.
It shows the on-screen. Now, Griffin has come out with their product as well. It's not shipping. Tune Center, and Tune Center does something similar. Tune Center has an Ethernet port in the back. We're waiting to see more about this when it ships. It should be in April sometime, and that probably is going to be between $99 and $129. We're not sure yet because it hasn't been shipped yet, but those are some of the new products coming out. Also, DLO has shipped their boombox in black. Remember their original boombox called the DLO iBoom? Well, now they have it in black, and it's got a place for the Nano, so you can use your iPod video or any docking iPod, including the Nano, and it comes in black. DLO has come out with a number of different cases for the iPod. Check it out at DLO.com. That's Digital Lifestyle Outfitters. Very, very cool company, always pushing the envelope, not just with iPod, with other portable devices. More next week.
Cool stuff. That was Sam. Thanks, Sam. Sam Levin, Cool Mac Picks. More information at InsideMacRadio.com. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. Next up here, we're going to have Jessica Myers from Garmin International talking about GPS on your Macintosh. We'll be right back.
Consulting is a new service that offers troubleshooting, training, advice, and technical support to Mac users. Our expert technicians will resolve your Mac problems quickly, painlessly, and inexpensively. We guarantee it. To find out more, visit www.boblevitis.com or give us a call at 408-627-7577. My name is Bob, Dr. Mac Levitis, and I approve, wrote, and produced this message.
Informal, informative,
in front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show brought to you by MCE Technology. If you want to get a brand new MacBook Pro,
yes,
an upgrade for your regular PowerBook,
yes,
G4,
yes,
8X dual layer drive, a 16X for your G5, all kinds of great stuff. Check them out at MCE Tech. That's MCE Tech, TECH.com. Right now we're joined by Jessica Myers from Garmin International. We're going to talk about all their cool products for Mac OS X. They have some fitness-based GPS units that are having Mac support here really quick. They announced at Macworld and a bunch of other stuff. So we just want to bring Jessica on and talk about, you know, people don't know what's a GPS unit. They have Mac support. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
Good. Give us a little background in here if people don't know about this whole, and I'm sure most people probably do, but about Garmin and the whole GPS device.
Sure. Well, Garmin is a GPS manufacturer, and essentially we have a lot of different products that cover various markets. Fitness is one of those markets where you can use GPS in any of your workouts. So as you're running or walking or kayaking or swimming, you can monitor your time and your speed, your distance, your calories burned, things such as that, all using GPS. And then what you can do with that information is go and download it into your Mac and slice it and dice it and analyze it however you want. So that you can really get detailed analysis of how you're doing and what progress you're making as you're working out. We also have other GPS devices that are anything from handhelds that you can use while you're hiking or camping. We have marine products that you can use while you're out on a boat, automotive products that'll get you from point A to point B with turn-by-turn voice-prompted directions, so it'll tell you, like, turn right on Main Street, or aviation products. GPS, like I said, it spans a lot of different markets. But the ones that we're going to have for Mac at first is going to be our fitness devices, which is our Garmin Forerunner and the Garmin Edge.
I've been checking this thing out, and I've been running and biking for quite a while. This is really cool because you can really track your progress in elevation and in time and your speed through your workout. Very, very nice stuff. The only thing it's missing is a heart rate monitor, which has a heart rate monitor in
it. It actually does have a heart rate
monitor. Oh, it does have a heart rate monitor in there.
Yep, you have a heart rate monitor, and you have a cadence sensor if you're a cyclist. So you can actually combine all of that information. So you do have it. All of it's wireless. All of it is fully self-calibrating. So pretty much you can either just start to run or start to ride, whatever your thing is, and just take it and go.
I did not see that on the website. I was looking for that. I was like, gosh, I'd have to put something else on my wrist, another thing. But that's really, okay, I'm getting it. I'm sold.
Now, tell us about how the software for Mac OS X will interface with this unit, and does it pull down information and you can chart stuff, or how does this actually work where you have the standalone GPS device that you can use without any computer?
Exactly.
But then you have the Mac stuff coming out here. Well, how's this all going to interface? How's this work?
Sure. Well, basically how it works is whether you're using a Mac or another computer, you can basically take the Forerunner or the Edge fitness devices, and after you go for a workout, then you bring them back, you connect them to your computer, and then from there what you can do is it'll automatically download all that information. And there's two different places that it will download it into. The first is with a program that we call the Garmin Training Center. It's a CD that comes with the GPS device itself, and it'll let you, like I said, it'll help you analyze all of your workout, and then it'll also help you plan a workout. So let's say you're getting ready for a marathon, and you want to know how to start planning your workout so that you're eventually up to, you know, the distance that you're going to run. It will actually tell you how many miles you need to run a day so that you can achieve that goal here in, 4 weeks or however long you have for training. So there's that aspect of it, and you can look at your heart rate or your time or your distance on graphs and charts, and it will store all of that information so that you have a running total of how you did yesterday, and you can compare it to how you did today, to how you did a month ago or a year ago. The other aspect of the that you can download the information to is called MotionBase.com, and MotionBase is an internet-based company. And it is a subsidiary of Garmin. And basically, it gives you a traveling version of everything that you already have on your Forerunner. So, you know, with the internet, you can always access it as long as you can get to your computer. So you're not just limited to the computer that you have the training center program loaded onto. And with that, it's incredibly cool because you can get into some more detail, and you can even do things such as loading your courses that you've just run or ridden and overlay those courses onto like Google Earth maps.
Mm.
And so you can actually see where you just were, and then you can pinpoint, you know, as you were running up that mountain, this is what your heart rate was doing at that specific moment in time, and this was your pace and your speed and your distance. You can pinpoint every aspect of your workout and look at whatever elements of that workout you want to, so you can compare whatever parts of that workout you want to compare.
Have you guys thought of doing a group thing so you could have, like, virtual races against other people and have, like, a ranking, you know? I think that would be kind of slick, is to be able to have sort of a group sort of community thing, and you could compare courses and how people did.
Sure, and that feature is actually out there. With MotionBase, there's a trail network, and so you can download trails that other people have done onto the unit itself, and because it is GPS-based, you're going to get like a little map, a breadcrumb trail on the unit itself, and you can just go ahead and follow that map and ride that course. And it even goes so far as doing like dot races with people. So on the unit itself, you'll see another person's time and speed on that specific course, and you'll see yourself as well, and it will be two dots racing against each other to the end. And if you want to just go for a specific time or speed, say you want to do a 5-minute mile or whatever, and you're not concerned about the course itself that you're on, and you're just really trying to hit that 5-minute mile, then you can actually use our virtual training partner feature, which will show you a digital image of an individual either running or cycling, and it will always motivate you by saying you're ahead or you're behind that 5-minute mile goal. So there's a couple different ways that you can race against each other or have that community feeling out there.
Wow, very cool stuff. Now what does what's the cost to get into this whole GPS deal with these different units? And if I want to get into this thing, at least starting with the fitness devices, I know you guys have stuff for cars and maps and, you know, a whole lineup. But what's the cost to get into the fitness devices?
Sure. On our fitness side, they start at $250 and they'll go to about $400. And on the motion-based portion of it, that subscription is free. And so, or at least there's a free portion as well as a subscription-based portion on their website. So you can really start to get into it for a pretty minimal fee, you know, $250 to get a unit, and then you're up and going. And yeah. As far as GPS itself, the cool thing is there's not like a subscription service like you have with your cell phone. Once you have the unit, it's free to use. You know, GPS is open to everybody, so...
Now, this Forerunner, this is the watch. This is a small little watch that you can wear.
Mm-hmm.
And also has a bike mount. That's $250, I think. Is that where that one starts?
Yeah, the Forerunner 205 starts at $250. And we just announced that product here in January, and it's gotten some really good reviews. It's just starting to hit the store shelves. And it's a great, great device. It has a new high-sensitive GPS receiver that it picks up the acquisition time really fast and holds its signal extremely well, because GPS requires a clear view of the sky to hold its signal. And if you have somebody who's running in a lot of heavy tree coverage, every now and again they might lose their signal. But with the new Forerunners, that's much less likely to happen because of the new strong GPS receiver inside of it. So the 205, the Forerunner, that is the watch-like device, it starts at $250, and that unit can be used for just about any activity out there. You just strap it on your wrist and go. It's waterproof, so you could use it for things like kayaking or swimming, you know, things like that. And then we also have the Edge, and that's specifically for cycling. And that's the one where you're going to have your cadence sensor and all of that, so you can monitor those aspects of your ride as well. And the Edge starts at $350.
I want one.
<They're>
I want
great.
One bad.
Once you use them, they're addicting.
That's great.
When do you think you're going to have the rest of the rollout for a lot of your products? Is this looking something towards the end of the year? Because I know you guys are working on adding Mac support for the rest of your products, actually.
Yeah, for our fitness products, we'll have everything up and going by the end of this spring. We've started to do some minor rollouts already, but the spring is for our fitness products. And for everything else, it will be by the end of this year. We will be 100% Mac compatible on the Tiger platform. So, yeah, we're excited about it.
Very cool. Now, where do we find more information on the fitness products, on the regular GPS stuff, everything you guys are up to, and maybe a place where there's links to where people can buy these kinds of GPS units and this stuff?
Sure. As far as the products and everything, you can always go out to Garmin.com and find all kinds of information about, you know, our products and what we're doing. If you want specific information about how we're, you know, what we're doing with Mac and the progress that we're making to become compatible, then you should go check out our blog site, which is garmin.blogs.com. And we're constantly doing updates out there to keep the Mac community informed of how we're doing and the progress that we're making.
Great stuff. Hey, I really appreciate you joining us today.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
That was cool information. And, you know, the whole GPS thing is great. And there's even thing we should have him back on later talking about geocaching and tracking. And
yeah,
there's a thing you can go to websites and actually say, okay, I want to go. I'm going to be in this part of the country or this part of town or whatever. And you can go on scavenger hunt using GPS stuff. So
that's cool.
It's pretty cool stuff. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. You're here with Scott Shepherd and Brad Wright. We'll be right back.
Creative Planet Communities present the Digital Production Buzz.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Production, post-production, distribution. What's really happening now and in your digital future? The Digital Production Buzz, live Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific. Archives and podcast immediately after.
Inside your life,
business,
your home,
inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepherd.
With Scott Shepherd.
If you're listening to the Inside Mac radio program, we've been here talking about GPS units and how cool they are.
Yeah.
And how you want to keep your heart at a certain rate, and it's good to be active and fit. And
oh, yeah.
Not just hang out and drink beer and surf on your Mac.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, they either quit, they start working out and they quit and they don't see the progress. And you should always, when you're working out, you should always track your progress to see that you actually are making progress. Maybe they're working out a little bit and they're like, I'm not getting any better. I'm not doing any better than this. I'm just going to quit the whole thing. Forget it. And you have to have, you have to have goals and you have to track your progress to see that you're actually doing better and you're making, and you know, you're, it's worth doing. You know?
So to eat more lobster bisque, I'm going to have to work out more.
That's
all
thing.
The cream and the lobster and the sherry is bad for you.
Yeah. You know, I think you go through, the situations where the hardest part is starting, and once you start, then it becomes addicting and you can't really quit that easily. You just keep going at it.
I know the more you go to the gym and the more you work out, the more tired you are, but actually have more energy, so it's really weird.
Yeah, well, you sleep a lot better. You're more efficient. You need actually less sleep because when you hit the pillow, you're out. You're not waking up in the middle of the night thinking, oh, my God, what do I got to do tomorrow?
Yeah, I don't wake up in the middle of the night, man.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
Well, you don't go to sleep in the middle of the night either, so it's like, yeah.
I dream of lobster bisque.
Lobster bisque.
Where can we get some today?
I don't know. We got to go hunting down
Ruth
looking
Chris
for some lobsters.
On Van Ness. We're going to Ruth Chris.
Free plug for Ruth Chris.
Yeah, you know, talking about plugs and actually, you know, an actual, a nice experience is, you know, I've been using, everybody's familiar with PayPal.
Uh-huh.
And there's been a lot of negative stuff, people talking about PayPal and they don't like it and blah, blah, blah. But I had some stuff with PayPal and a couple issues with customer service. And I'm telling you, those guys, you know, sometimes it's hard to get people on the phone, mm-hmm. especially with like eBay and PayPal, some of these big, you know, IT type, you know, technology companies. But, you know, phone call, boom, great service.
Yes.
So I just have to praise these guys over at PayPal for actually going, beyond the normal customer service deal and not shipping my call off to, Istanbul.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, just doing a great job of customer service. I was really surprised with it. It was refreshing.
It's so nice when you call up customer service and there's somebody you can understand on the other end of the line. I enjoy that experience so much every time that happens to me. It's like, wow, English, good English. This is nice. You know, PayPal, the internet commerce would be as big as it would be if there wasn't a service like PayPal. PayPal just has really changed the whole layout.
It has, you know, and I think people were worried about doing online transactions, and I've been using PayPal now since I think 2002.
Mm-hmm.
I think when they first started or close to it, I don't know, after eBay bought, I don't even know when. It's been at least 5, 4, 3, I don't know, a fair amount.
Oh, yeah.
And doing some stuff with the website with it and just using it as a general thing. It's handy because, you know, you can get a PayPal account, and after you've had enough account history and everything looks good and you have your, you know, verified address, and they go through a lot of check stuff that they don't normally do at a bank.
Yes.
It's like a bank, but they're not really a bank, but they check a lot of things on you to make sure you're actually real. They'll issue you a debit card that ties to your PayPal account, so you can use it as a regular MasterCard.
Oh.
And the whole thing's pretty handy. So if you're doing online stuff, you're selling a lot of stuff on eBay, or even if you want to subscribe to services like Liberated Syndication, do podcasting.
Yeah.
And a lot of these online deals take payments through PayPal.
Ah.
That's, I don't know if Apple Store, well, Apple's accepting PayPal now.
Probably. I think everybody's.
They are actually on the online music store with iTunes. So, you know, here's a trip that, you know, even if you don't have a charge deal, you can open a thing with PayPal. You can tie it to a bank account. You can put money in your PayPal account, and you actually have like a real charge deal. So for cats that are just starting out with their credit or whatever, you can actually get this PayPal gig and use it forever. Buy stuff on iTunes, whatever you want to use it for.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, but I was just wanting to comment on how good their customer service was and how surprised I was with even when I deal with other banks and, you know, regular brick-and-mortar deals.
Yeah.
Weren't really as good as what these guys did.
I always freak out if I hear a really strong accent on the other end. I'm like, I'm not giving you my credit card number.
No, these guys are really nice, so I just have to commend those cats. And like I said, check them out at PayPal.com. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Next up here, we have a ton of great stuff, Print Fest. We're going to talk to Kevin Ford for Parlay. We'll be right back.
If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
You are Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh, and this part of the Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by Creative Pro. If you create cool content, Photoshop, Illustrator, Flash, Go Live, you name it, they have some great forums. They have a tip list that you can get great tips every day via your email. All kinds of cool stuff. Check them out at creativepro.com. You're here with Scott Shepherd and Brad Wright today. How are we doing, Brad?
Oh, we're doing great. Awesome
cool first
day.
Part of the show. We had some great stuff from Philip Hodges talking about all the new post news going on this week. Apple ships universal binaries of their whole production suite.
Yes.
Andy Chalidon talking about his Mac design out of the box graphic tip, design tip of the week. Mm-hmm. About simple and fast, easy click-through website design. You know, make it easy. Don't nest the stuff down six layers that people have to click six times to get something you want to get to it now, one click.
Yeah.
Cool stuff there. Of course, we had Sam Levinon doing his cool Mac picks. And then we had Jessica Myers on from Garmin International talking about their GPS units, and now they have Mac support, and they're rolling on even more support for the Mac.
Very cool stuff. I want one of those.
I want to do the geocaching deal.
Yeah.
Where you actually there's a website that people bury treasure.
Well, I just
put trinkets and boxes and weird stuff, and you can actually get GPS coordinates and you go find the stuff.
I just need to get one because there's nothing scarier than for a guy to stop and ask for directions. I mean, especially if your wife's in the car. It's like, no, honey, we don't need to stop and ask for directions or your girlfriend or whatever. It's just, for that, it's like, it's just, you never have to be embarrassed to like, hey, I don't know where I am. You can get one of those GPSs. Good way to go.
Yeah.
And now they take like, they're really cool because they take SD memory slots. You can just slide them right in. They have an SD memory slot. You can slide them in and load a ton of maps because, boy, it's like, back in the old days, they used to have CDs. Now you can, whatever can fit on an SD card, you can shove it right in there and get rocking. It's a great product. I mean, really, the stuff is, and they're so much cheaper than they used to be. That's what I've been really surprised that the prices have come down, quality has gone up. I mean, they're great little units.
Yeah, so the whole GPS thing is pretty cool, and it's great that they're actually doing Mac support now. So,
yes,
pretty soon here by the end of the year, they'll have everything rolled out, all their stuff, all their mapping things, the ones that go in cars, the whole deal, all rolled out for the Mac.
Yeah.
So cool Mac goodies there. Next up here, we're going to have Rick Leiter on. This is our sort of the Mac at Work segment. We ask people to email us about what they're using their Macs at work for. Rick has a site called Bug Dreams, bugdreams.com, and he takes photography of bugs. Close-up pictures.
That's much harder than you think it is.
Real creepy-looking green.
And I don't say they're creepy-looking. Some of it's quite nice. It's just beautiful photography. You know, some people don't realize how complex these little animals are. They're really... Yes, it is.
I mean, it makes some beautiful stuff. So if you guys want to check that out, you can go over to bugdreams.com. And we're going to be talking to Rick about what he does and how he uses this Mac in his business and how all the stuff took off with the digital photography and shooting pictures of bugs.
Yeah.
Cool Mac stuff and bugs.
Yeah. Well, it's just as long as they're not in your software and in your computer, they're just on your screen.
Yeah, I guess that's okay. That's great stuff there. Then later on, we're going to have Chris Jacobson on. He's putting on a show called Print Fest in Long Beach coming up here in May. He's got a bunch of stuff going on with Adobe, so we're going to talk about Print Fest and what they're doing, and they got some great sessions from Adobe going down there. Mm-hmm. And then later on, we're going to have Lorene Romero on, giving us a Mac user group update later this hour. And then our featured guest for the hour is Kevin Ford from Parlant Corporation from Canada.
Yes.
These guys make the phone valet box and the software. It's this little USB device that you plug your RJ11 phone jack into, and the USB cable on your Mac, and it'll do everything. You can record conversations. It does great stuff there. It's almost like a phone interface, so people that are doing podcasting or whatever can record phone conversations. With a new version of the software, you can record every phone call that you make and burn it to a DVD.
Yeah.
So for business stuff, this call is being recorded for quality assurance reasons. Actually, we're spying on our workers. But, hey, it's cool.
That's it.
You know,
that's
we can record
exactly
it
right. Yeah, you know, I was checking out GarageBand with their podcasting thing, and it's pretty slick because I was just, you know, because of this whole phone valet thing, I was checking it out. And, you know, the more you can, I don't know what the limit is, but you can record multiple audio sources at once. So you got people in Skype, you got people coming in from your phone valet, you got people in the studio, you got, you know, you can all bring those in via GarageBand, and it records it, of course, at like really, really good high quality. So it's nice. They've done a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, so we're going to talk to Kevin about that.
There's other good stuff going on this week, which I mentioned. Scrubs is finally on iTunes, which is one of my favorite shows. I just love that show. You can get it now in iTunes.
Yep, Scrubs is on, and there's more of the past deal with South Park and a bunch of the shows. So they're actually starting to roll the stuff out now where you can just pay a price and get all these programs. So I think hopefully we'll see some motion picture stuff here. Who knows? I mean, they did one with that Disney one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the name of it. It was some...
High school something or other.
Yeah, some high school gig.
Yeah, I forget what it was called. But.
A couple hour show or an hour and 45 minutes. And,
yeah.
That was $9.99.
Uh-huh.
So, you know,
not
pretty
bad.
Cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Great stuff rolling on with the whole iTunes gig. So you can check that out at iTunes.com. We'll be right back.
Do you want to find Macintosh software updates faster? Do you want to do this without paying a yearly fee or a site bogged down with tons of advertising? Do you want your software update site to offer you a free membership featuring custom watch lists, email update notifications, custom layouts, and more? Do you want to have the latest 15 Macintosh software updates streamed to your menu bar? Now, do you really want to know who this great website is for the best Macintosh software updates on the planet? It's MacUpdate.com. Check out MacUpdate. Visit www.macupdate.com.
Informal.
Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Mac Update. If you want to keep your software all up to date on your Mac, make it happy and fresh, check them out at MacUpdate.com. Right now we have Rick Leader with us from BugDreams.com. Rick emailed us in about listening to us about talking about the Mac at work deal and what are you using your Mac for. And he emailed us and tell us you do a thing called BugDreams or BugDreams.com.
Right.
Tell us how all this stuff worked out and how you use your Mac with it. And you listened to us on our show and then emailed me, and then you're here now with us.
Right. Thanks for having me on, Scott. Yeah, I listen to you as a podcast. I'm here in just outside Detroit, Michigan. I'm taking pictures of bugs and having a lot of fun. And I use a Mac for everything.
Actually, I've been checking out your website, and you're shooting up at these. You're shooting some ants, which are some really small.
And they never stop moving.
And they never stop moving. How do you do this?
It's difficult to do it. I probably get one good picture out of hundreds. I take. That's why I have to. I really couldn't do it without digital. I'd be paying thousands of dollars of film bills if I. I couldn't do it with digital.
It would just not be possible.
No, because it's so much. The thing about what I do, that makes it a little bit different than the way you've seen these before, is I don't use flash, and I don't use a tripod. So you can imagine how difficult that is to hold the camera still, or, the lighting conditions are, you know, under a bush or something. I'm working at, you know, a quarter of a second, a 30th of a second. It's real. I wasn't even sure I could do this when I started to do it. It was more of a challenge. I said, I wonder if I could do this, because I didn't want to use the flash. I think that really gives a really unflattering light. It does solve the technical problem of keeping something still so you can photograph it.
What camera and lenses are you using?
Well, you don't really need a lot of expensive equipment to do it my way. When I started doing this the way everybody does it, I even made my own flash rigs and things like that. So it was expensive. But the way I do it now, right now I'm using a Canon Digital Rebel XT.
Wow.
So I'm getting a really nice, I only use shoot raw, so I'm getting a really nice file, and I'm using a Tamron 90mm macro.
Oh, really?
1:1 aspect rate, magnification ratio.
And how close are you to these things that you're actually shooting?
Sometimes less than an inch. You know, between an inch and a few inches.
How do you prevent them? You sneak up on them?
I don't prevent them. That's the problem. I just kind of, it's really dirty. You just lay there in the mud or the dirt and wait. And I just, if I see something, I hope that I'm not disturbing it too much.
And if I am,
I just try to follow it a little bit.
Wow.
Because I really couldn't force them to do the kind of things I'm doing. It wouldn't be possible. So I just watch them and see, wait until they do something or you know, just be ready if I can.
Wow. Now you're at like a F2.0 on that lens?
I'm shooting pretty much wide open. It's an F2.8.
Wow.
Now, it would be great if I could shoot at, you know, F11, F22 or something like that and get more depth of field. But then I'd be shooting at, you know, I'd have a second, an exposure of about a second, which would really make it impossible. So I almost always have to shoot wide open because the shutter speed I'm shooting at is so low. I'm, you know, maybe a 30th of a second if I'm lucky, maybe more like an 1/8 of a second or a 15th of a second.
Now, are you using, what ISO are you using? Like 200, 500?
Because of the noise issue with digital, I'm trying to shoot as close to, say, ISO 100 as possible. Sometimes I can't do that, so I'll bump it up to 200. On rare occasions will I go to 400 or above, just because the noise makes it, there's so much noise in the image that when you blow it up, there is so much cleaning up that you have to do, it's almost impossible. So so it's pretty difficult. That's probably why no one really does it this way. I'm the only one dumb enough to do it this way.
You've done some. Actually, I kind of like with the way the depth of field is very shallow on these objects. It's just a beautiful, beautiful rendition. I mean, wow.
Yeah, you know, I'm a painter too, and I guess I'm an artist first. So when I look at this, I'm looking in terms of the lighting and the composition. And yeah, that having a shallow depth of field does have an advantage in that it will enable me to throw the background out of focus or even more out of focus than it would normally be in a situation like this.
So tell us about your workflow with the Mac. How does a Mac all work into this whole deal with bug dreams?
Well, I've been using a Mac for about a dozen years. Because I'm digital, I've got my workflow so that I'm going pretty much right into Photoshop from taking the pictures, shooting raw, using the bridge and Adobe CS2. And I don't do a whole lot of cleanup or manipulation on the images once I'm in. I mean, obviously, since I'm shooting raw, I'm really, oftentimes I don't get the best exposure. So I've got to, that's why shooting raw is so great, and that I can, I've got such a large dynamic range that I can, if the exposure was underexposed, I can bump it up a little bit and take it into Photoshop, work on it a little bit. And then I use an Epson printer, large Epson printer, the 2200.
Oh, yeah,
hooked up to the Mac.
Yeah.
And that produces just great prints. I'm probably going to be getting a larger printer for some of the exhibitions I'm starting to do now. But the 2200 works great right now.
What kind of Mac do you have, and do you use it to do the website or any other work with it?
Yep, I design all my own websites. Right now, I'm using an older Mac. It's a G4 dual 500, and running Tiger, running 10.3.9. Because I've been working on so many projects, I just haven't wanted to make the switch to another Mac right now, especially because the Intel, I don't have Photoshop. As soon as I get to one of the newer Macs, I'm going to be using Photoshop CS on. It's not universal yet. So I really have decided that I'm just going to wait. And even though this is obviously slower than most professionals would use right now, it still is good enough for what I'm doing. So I'm just going to wait until Photoshop gets upgraded and then, get the new Mac.
Yeah, I think you'll be quite happy with it. I've got two Intel. I've got Power MacBook Pro and Intel iMac, and great products.
Oh yeah, so, I can't wait. Yeah. And I have a couple monitors on the Mac, so big monitors, since I really need to see. I have really great images. They're all color managed. And yeah, I use the Mac for designing all my websites, especially bugdreams.com. I use just mostly hand code with BBEdit.
How cool. Great stuff there. Rick, appreciate you being on, emailing us back. Great to see what you're using your Mac for and making these beautiful photographs of these creepy-looking bugs.
Well, that's
a lot of fun.
I
cool.
really love to see, but, you know, it's a different way of looking at them. And I'm getting a lot of great comments from people telling me that after they see my work, they don't want to step on them anymore.
Nah, you don't want to step on bugs. That's bad karma. But, hey, thanks, Rick. Cool stuff. Bugdreams.com.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listen to online tonight or the David Lawrence show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PN. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
Inside your life.
Business.
Your home.
Inside your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepherd.
With Scott Shepherd.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Printing for Less, the official printer of the Inside Media Networks. Very cool stuff. You can send these guys any file. Real true ink on paper offset printers. They'll make anything work. Check them out, printingforless.com. And talking about printing, we have right now a buddy of mine, Chris Jacobson. He's putting on a show called PrintFest coming up here in May, and they got a bunch of cool stuff going on. I see they got the keynote from Dr. Joe Webb that we just had on the Inside Print Radio program, talking about offshore printing and all kinds of cool things. And how are we doing, Chris?
Hey, great to be on, Scott. Thanks for having me. Dr. Joe's a cool guy. Glad you had him on.
Yeah, we had Dr. Joe on this week's show talking about offshore printing.
Yeah, I love it.
Interesting topic. Yeah, so you're putting on PrintFest.
Yes.
This is the first annual. It's a brand new show. Why don't you give our listeners, we only got a few minutes here, but you guys have been doing print stuff for a long time. You guys used to do the Gutenberg Festival.
That's right. My dad actually started that show in 1973, and I took over the family tradition. We sold it to a large competitor, and that competitor has chosen not to put on a new show, another show this year, and we decided the timing was pretty good to launch PrintFest. We know the marketplace. We know what people need, and we think we can help a lot of people out. And we're coming out of an economic trough here, and there are a lot of good opportunities. So we want to show people what they are and teach them how to improve their profitability. We've got some great sessions planned, panels with companies that have been there and done it already to teach them how to transition into digital printing, mailing and fulfillment, wide format, label printing, and package printing are all topics. And Adobe has partnered with us. They had a tremendously successful event up there in San Francisco called Momentum in Print, and they're going to reproduce five of their best attended sessions down at PrintFest, teaching you the how-to stuff for production and design work.
Yeah, so you're going to have a great deal with the whole Adobe thing. They've been stepping up here on the whole print deal. They definitely took command, I guess, because of whatever, but the market's coming around, and Adobe's definitely involved really heavy in this whole print industry now.
Yeah, and they've been really great to deal with. We're excited about having them involved in PrintFest.
That's great. Now, give us the dates, Chris. When's PrintFest? How much does it cost to go? I know it's going to be in Long Beach, California at the Long Beach Convention Center. It's always a fun place to go to, but give us a little more details here on your show.
Yeah, you bet. It's beautiful down there in Long Beach. It's the show opens 6 weeks from today. It's a Thursday through Saturday event, May 11th, 12th, and 13th for the conference, 12 and 13 for the expo. The panels run Thursday and Friday. The Adobe sessions run Friday and Saturday, and the expo runs Friday and Saturday. The keynote is just before the expo opens on Friday morning at 10:30. Expo-only admission is only $15 in advance, which is before April 28th is the registration discount deadline. You can actually save $3 and register at any Kelly Paper store in the western United States. They have 47 stores. They're our exclusive retail sponsor, and you can register for only $12. Pay right there and turn in your reg form. And all the sessions are, we wanted to keep this really inexpensive. We wanted to get the word out and get as many people into these classes as possible. It's only $25 per class for each panel session or Adobe technical session. And if you want to go to all five panels, it's only $100. And if you want to go to all five Adobe sessions, it's only $100. So we've kept the pricing really, really low.
Hey, that's great stuff. And the website, again, how do we get a hold of it? Find out more information, Chris?
Check out printfest.com, and that's printfest as in printing festival. Printfest.com.
Cool stuff. And Inside Mac will be there all 3 days covering it, doing great interviews with Dr. Joe and the Adobe people and attendees and all kinds of great stuff. So you can find complete coverage for Inside Mac at PrintFest 2006 at the beautiful Long Beach Convention Center, May 11th through the 13th. Chris, thank you so much for joining us. We want to have you back on the show here and also on Inside Print before May 11th so we can talk more about this great show.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me on, Scott.
That was Chris Jacobson. Check him out at PrintFest.com. We'll be right back.
The Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California is home to the world's largest collection of computer-related artifacts, including rare and one-of-a-kind objects such as the Apple I, the 20th anniversary Mac, and the Palm Pilot prototype. For tours and events or more information, please visit www.computerhistory.org or call 650-810-1010.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show brought to you by the digital production buzz of Philip Hodges. You can check those guys out Thursday evening, 6 to 7 p.m. live on the web at digitalproductionbuzz.com. Right now we're joined by Lorene Romero. She's giving us a Mac user group update. How are we doing, Lorene?
How are you?
I'm doing lovely. Yourself?
I am great, thank you. I'm hearing a little bit of your show while I'm on hold, and as always, you have the best speakers.
Oh, why, thank you. How fun. So tell us, what's happening in the world of Apple user groups this week?
Well, you know, we've had a lot of weather issues, as you're aware of, in the last couple of months, and there's a particular group that I want to do a shout-out for and talk a little bit, because they're doing something that's very community-related, and I really think it should be brought to everybody's attention, because it's a really good cause. Pam Byers is over in the Boston area. She's the president of the Mac Woburn user group, and after Katrina happened, she got really involved in being able to do some collections for them. She saw the devastation of New Orleans and the tragedy that was going on. So she started a little project that's now kind of ballooned. In fact, it was listed in the Apple User Group Bulletin in January. And I'm bringing it to your show today because I don't want people to forget that there are still people out there that are having problems. She's involved with several other people. From different states, they've adopted a user group. They adopted the Southern Mississippi Mac user group. It's now their sister group. And they're helping people be able to get computers, because the issue that people are forgetting is not only did they lose their homes, but they lost their way of bringing in income. So she's involved with Dave Sevick, who is out in northern Pittsburgh. And I will have all this information on a website for people to be able to go to take a look, because, you know, we forget, you know, we're here in California and it's sunny or rainy, and there's still people out there that are homeless or living in tents or living in trailers. And what her project is to be able to repurpose computers. And, you know, we all have computers that are either older or we're looking to buy the new Intel ones. And so what she's doing is collecting them and sending them to people so they can start their businesses again.
That's pretty cool stuff there, actually, to help those people.
Yeah, and I realize that, you know, it Katrina happened about 6 months ago, and we've moved on with our lives, so that's why I really want to be able to bring this up to people's attention, so that if they are going to be buying a new computer, instead of just, you know, sending it over to, say, for example, in our area, it's the Santa Rosa Recycling Center, to be able to make sure that it's running and to be able to find a home for it out there. It can even be something in their local area. I'm just spotlighting this one because I think it's such a worthy project.
That is cool. Now, where can we find out more information? Did you put this up on your guys' website? Where can we find out if people want to help these cats that had all these problems with Katrina?
I actually put it on the MC Mug website so that they can read the story and find the links to click to. So if you go to www.ncmug.org, we're going to have the story up there with Pam and Dave's contact information. They will be happy to accept donations to be able to ship the computers, because, you know, once they get the computers, they have to get them down to New Orleans. So if you can donate an iPod, you're going to be getting a new one, and instead of giving it to your cousin, it's a hard drive. And that's what we forget. We just go, oh, they're music machines. But for some people, they're hard drives, and they can back their computers and data up on it. So anything people can donate would be wonderful.
Great stuff there. And how do we get more information on your group and everything else that's going on?
Oh, NC Mug is in Santa Rosa, California, and we can be found at www.ncmug.org.
Very cool. Thanks for all that great information, Lorene.
All right.
Appreciate
we'll talk
it.
Soon.
Great stuff. Check it out, ncmug.org. We'll be right back.
You know where you want to go. The challenge is getting there. That's why AGFA has developed innovative solutions that address your current needs while preparing your business of the future. Our chemistry-free CTP is one example. Effortless workflow software and high-productivity inkjet printing are others. We develop technology with your goals in mind, because our goal is to help you arrive at your destination efficiently and profitably. Stay ahead with AGFA. Visit AGFA.com for more info.
Macintosh for the new millennium.
This is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac.
Get on live now at 800-490-0058. Or email us at radio@insidemac.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by OSX FAQ. If you want all the great information on the Mac, Unix tips, design tips, Mac OS X tips, news every day, developer information from Apple, all kinds of cool stuff, Final Cut Pro tips, you name it, it's all there. One place to go, OSXFAQ.com. Right now we have Kevin Ford with us from Parliant Corporation in beautiful Canada, talking about Phone Valet. How are we doing, Kevin?
We're doing great.
You have a brand new version of Phone Valet out.
Yes, we do.
The last time we talked, I think, was after Macworld Boston, maybe a year ago.
Wow. Yeah.
And you had a new version out then.
Oh.
But now you've stepped it up even more.
Yes, we've had a couple of releases since then, but a major release in the last couple of weeks. And
give our listeners a little background about what Phone Valet is. This is a piece of hardware with some cool software, and then tell us what this new version does, because you've done a bunch of new upgrades now, and this thing is really cool.
Sure. Okay, so Phone Valet is a complete package to connect your Macintosh to the phone line, and it will connect either to an analog line, or if you have voice over IP coming in, will connect to their little adapter. And we're going to monitor all your calls and do a whole bunch of things for you in terms of creating a history of your communications on the phone, so that you don't have to make those records. Small businesses and small organizations are typically terrible at making those kind of records, and we'll do it for you transparently. So
wow.
The first thing we do is, when calls come in, we're going to tell you who's calling. We actually announce the name of the caller using text-to-speech of the speakers of the computer. You can then decide whether or not you wish to interrupt what you're doing or not, or let it go to our voicemail. Our voicemail is an unlimited number of voicemail boxes, and you can call in to check them, but most people don't anymore, because we email you the message, either across the hall or across the world, including the sound recording. We'll also, if you like, we'll log all inbound and outbound calls, so you know where you're spending your time and for time billing and all that stuff. And if you want to, we can record both sides of the conversation for your own record keeping. We can let you screen calls. When a call comes in, depending on who they are, they can play unique greetings to them. And if it's someone you don't wish to talk to, like a telemarketer, we'll actually play you create your own nasty message. I'll leave a message. And if it's your wife on her cell phone and you know that, well, it'll go straight to your voicemail box without going through everything else and play her some custom message like, yes, Deb, I know, I'll meet you in front of the theater at 7:30 tonight. And then if she chooses to leave you a message, it will find you via email.
Oh, that's...
Wherever you are. So those are the things that we've had for quite some time. We've added some more power to this thing in terms of recording more conversations is probably the biggest one. You can now set a switch that says, record all my conversations. And then we're putting those in a relational database so that you can find them later. And we'll give you great backup tools so that you can say, find me all the calls for the last 2 years to this particular client, put them on a CD, and mail him a copy of it for his record keeping. It's all very simple to do, very intuitive.
Wow, so, that's really quite cool. Now, you've got this new, these are, what's the price on these?
The hardware and the software is $169.
Wow, that's very inexpensive. That's pretty affordable for just about anybody. Now, you've got a special feature they're rolling out so that you can, for people that are doing podcasting, they can feed the telephone interface directly into GarageBand, where they can make a podcast.
Yeah, we do a really good job of recording. We've spent a lot of time and money getting the automatic volume control right in hardware. So we make great quality conversations of what actually happens. The podcast option actually gets us some software from Bias called SoundSoap, and they're a really cool vendor. And what they do with this software is allow you to take that accurately recorded message and change it to remove, you know, background noise, airplane noise, and all that kind of stuff, so that when you broadcast these things, you can focus on the subject matter and not on the guy hammering sheet metal in the background. So that's the podcast thing, and we have another option called Anywhere, and if you really like the call announcements, you know, when the phone rings twice, what will happen is it will say, you have a call from Bob Smith, Justin's hockey coach, on line two. And that will also pop up on your screen. But if you'd like that to appear on other Macs around your network with Anywhere, that will happen. It will come out all the speakers around the network. And it will also allow you a web browser interface so that you can look at your call logs, your call history, and your phone book. And even make notes from anywhere in the world. So if you are a mobile employee, it is a tremendously powerful tool for you.
Wow. That is very, very cool. What have been some of the feedback you've gotten from the customers? I mean, what are some of the most important features? Obviously, the relational database is a big one. Will this work with almost any relational database or just certain ones?
Well, we actually include a relational database with it. It's one thing to capture sound files, but if you're going to have thousands of them, how are you going to find the thing? So we wrap that sound file in a bunch of data that we collect. We know the name, the phone number of the caller, the date and time of the call, the duration of the call, and whether it's inbound or outbound. And we record all that, including the sound file, that later on you can say, find me all the calls with this partial match in the name or number field, which were inbound, which were longer than 5 minutes, which were between these two dates, and give me a report of all those, export those to a spreadsheet, add up all the minutes, and send the guy a bill for your time on the phone for the last quarter. It's just simple, simple, easy to use, but extremely powerful. We have never had this kind of record keeping of your time spent on the phone.
I can see that would pay for itself very, very quickly. If you're a lawyer, if you're doing a lot of tech support, maybe a lot of type of... who are your typical users, actually? Or just is it generally, for this type of feature, what are your target markets for it?
Lawyers go nuts over the conversation recording feature. Professionals who bill for their time love the call logging feature. Families with three children go crazy about it because now I don't have to take messages for them all. You know, I get this call that says, you have a call for Justin, and it's from Emily. Well... he's not here, and I don't have to deal with it anymore. And he checks his voicemail, or he even has the email forwarded to him at school.
Oh, that's nice.
It's a tremendously powerful tool for the home, for small organizations like churches, And when you use that in conjunction with our other product called Phone Herald, the two of them together make a very powerful small business set. And Phone Herald is a tool that lets you give it a list of people, and you create a standard template, and then we will dial all those people according to your rules. You specify appropriate times and all that stuff, and we'll play them a message like, hi, this is your dentist calling, and then using text-to-speech, we'll say, this is a message for Betty for an appointment reminder of the following date and time, and here's the procedure, and here's when you should show up, and please press 1 if you're coming, or press 2 if you want a new appointment, or press 3 if you want to talk to our attendance clerk right now, or press 4 to record your response, and that recorded message will automatically get emailed to the appointment clerk.
Oh, that is so nice. So that is really nice.
In conjunction.
And it can do all of the, it can detect all of the, I used to know the name of all the different types of tones coming back from the phone.
Yes.
Wow.
That's actually the hardest part to do, but we've done it. So now you can do individualized messages to groups of people. And I would be very disappointed if anybody used this for telemarketing purposes. it's downright illegal anyway. But if you're an organization and you want to remind your small garage, and it's time to remind your customer that he's missed his oil change, or a school who says your child's not here, are they sick, or were they stolen, any number of value-added services, people will be grateful to have this kind of call.
Well, now you have an upgrade pass. Let's say if someone had an earlier version of Phone Valley, they already have the hardware. There's a way to get the upgraded version of the software. Do I need new hardware? What do I need to do, Kevin, to get up to speed with version 4.0?
If you have version 3.0, there's zero cost. It's free for you. If you're running version 2.0, it's a $30 upgrade. You just go to our website and fill in a form and give us the support code off of your hardware, and you can download the software and get running.
Wow.
It's as simple as that. And if you don't have either, it's $169 for the hardware and the software. And if you have multiple phone lines, you just buy one of these packages per phone line, plug them into a USB hub, and then plug them into a Mac Mini and monitor and take messages 6 lines concurrently, if you like.
Wow, very cool stuff.
Very nice.
Kevin, we got about 30 seconds. How do we get more information on the website and all the great stuff about Phone Valet?
Great. You can go to our website at www.parliant.com. That's P-A-R-L-I-A-N-T. And you'll see all of our products listed there.
Great stuff. I've used Phone Valet in the past. I haven't played with version 4.0 yet, but I know it's a cool product because it worked very great when we used it, and it's definitely something very cool. You can stick this on a Mac in your house, even an older Mac, plug it in and let it run, and it's a great phone system. So check it out, parlant.com. We'll be right back.
If you think all batteries are the same, listen to this. When Bon Jovi goes on stage anywhere in the world, the battery that powers their wireless microphones is always a Duracell. So whether it's 50,000 fans or just you and your CD player, it just has to work. Duracell. Trusted everywhere.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by you, the listener. We'd like to hear your input. Do you want different things in the show? Is there something you want to hear from? A specific piece of software you want us to interview and talk about? A piece of technology? Anything. If you're using a Mac at work, let us know. We want to talk to you. We had the bug guy on talking about him using his Mac. His old G4, his 450.
Yeah.
Cranking out some cool
stuff. Dual
500s,
I think it was, yeah.
Dual 500s running macOS 10.3.9, cranking out some great stuff. It just shows you that you don't have to have the smokiness, hottest, you know, G5 four processor monster box to do cool stuff.
Yeah, that makes a good point, because a lot of people are still on the older systems and older CPUs, and they're billing and making money with them.
That's right.
And so it's the other thing, the other angle it is that, oh, I can't get anything done today because I'm on my dual 2.7 or my quad and it's too slow.
Well, I'm on my 1.5 PowerBook. with my G5 still in the wrapper.
Yeah.
And I'm lame because I need it bad because this thing is slow. Whatever. But either way, and the same thing with the Phone Valet guys with Kevin.
Yeah.
The Parlant deal. That thing, I played with this thing for quite a while. I think I have version 3.
Yeah.
Whatever the last one was beforehand. And it's just this little teeny interface box, USB deal. You plug your phone into it. Dude, it pops up on your screen in big, huge letters. Like when you're doing Command Tab, click through applications, you get this big, cool thing pop up, and it says, this is the name of the person calling. It talks to you.
Wow.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
Now, I'm pretty much on a cell all the time, and I'm sort of a weird case because I'm whacked, so it's hard for me to use it. But, you can grab an old G3 500 iMac, Snow iMac or whatever, Flower Power one.
Yeah.
Stick it in the kitchen in the corner. Throw the Phone Valet on it. Dude, it'll run OS 10. It doesn't need to be screaming fast.
Yeah.
And you got a cool, high-dollar voicemail system. I mean, it is pretty cool.
Wow.
I think one of the coolest technologies I've seen in the Mac in a long time is this Phone Valet dig, because it's just amazing what you can do with it, and all the stuff they got here in version 4 is pretty trippy.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool, because you usually don't see this stuff, because before, to get phone stuff integrated in with the Mac was like a huge, really high-dollar nightmare.
It's also a universal binary, I think, is that I was
thinking.
Yeah, it's a universal binary already. So, it's a great product.
It uses
really
OpenBase.
Cool.
As it's like an SQL type full relational database. It's pretty cool stuff. And the overhead is on it. And when I played with it, I even checked it because I'm always geeking out in the terminal, running top and checking out resources. The thing doesn't use anything. It just sort of just idles in the background. When a phone comes in, it peaks up maybe 15-20% processor.
Oh, that's
nice.
It's
on a PowerBook too.
That's
so
nice.
Like an old G3, it'll work fine. So you can pick these things up for $50 on eBay.
Yeah.
Throw the Phone Valet gig on it. It's a pretty cool deal. And you know who else we need to get back on the show is Gordon Meyer.
Oh.
He wrote a book for O'Reilly about home automation systems and how you can put X10 and this Phone Valet and all these things together. His whole house, dude, is completely automated with this Mac. He walks into the room and the computer talks to him. Hey, Gordon, how you doing? dude, it's crazy. He's got this whole place completely wired. The guy's really cool. And
we had Gordon
on maybe a year or two ago. And when do you get him back? Because this whole thing with having your Mac do all these things for you, doing the Jetsons deal is a trip.
Yeah, see, I don't have any problem with my Mac doing it. If I had a Windows XP box, I would freak out.
You'd be like Bart, and the whole train system would shut down. They do a Control-Alt-Delete blue screen, and you get stuck in a tube in a train underneath the bay for an hour and a half.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Hey, we had some cool guests on today's show.
We certainly did, and I really want one of those GPS, those little GPS forerunners.
You're jonesing on that deal because you're into the whole mountain bike exercise deal.
Oh, it's just, it's awesome.
Our exercise here is looking for lobster bisque.
Ah, yes.
Yes, cool stuff. I'd like to thank our guests today. We had Philip Hodgetts, Andy Shallett, Sam Levin. We had Jessica Myers on from Garmin International.
Mm-hmm.
We had Rick Leader on from Bug Dreams talking about the Mac at Work segment. Chris Jacobson from PrintFest. Laureen Romero from the Mac User Group Update. Kevin Ford, of course, from Parlion. And we'd like to thank the sponsors of the show, Micromat, Lynda.com, DVD, XDV, MCE Technologies, Creative Pro, Mac Update, Printing for Less, and the digital production buzz of Philip Hodges. You can find out more information about Inside Mac at www.insidemacradio.com. Send us an email. Give us some feedback. We want to know what you want to hear on the show, what you like, what you don't like. Give us a little information, or you can pop on over to iTunes and grab it. Inside Mac Radio. We'll be back next week with more cool stuff about your Mac.